Hello, welcome back to Pushing Buttons, a video game podcast, part of the Geek Freaks Network. I am Kyle.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Scott.
Kevin is back and Scott is in the house. Welcome, boys.
We didn't get a hey, nerds, or what do you say? Sup, nerds?
Well, we were saying our names, so I guess I'm saying my name. I don't know.
I was looking forward to the... Oh, it's what up, nerds. That's what it is.
Yeah, what's up, nerds?
There it is. Yep. Yeah, I'm back and I'm here to ruin everybody's intro, so that's what I'm good for.
No, it's good to have you back and also to have you, Scott. It's just been being frank for a couple episodes there, so it's good to kind of break up the rhythm a little bit, get some different thoughts, ideas, opinions, experiences, and one more I'm missing, I can't remember.
I don't know either. I think we're switching to the D's, the deep dives, discussions, debates. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't familiar with that. So
the unofficial tagline.
What's the other D?
Deep dive, debates, discussions. It was 4D. So it was deep dive, discussion, debates.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So what are we covering today, Kevin? This was your idea.
Yeah. I figured it's fall time. You know, whenever I'm sitting around my computer this time of year, I usually have my bathrobe on over my clothes because it's nice and comforting. It's a cozy feeling. So I figured, why not talk about our favorite comfort games? What games we play when we just want to, you know, be cozy and kind of warm up next to the game and just chill for a bit next to the fire, so to speak.
So in particular, Kevin and I, and I'm not sure this is true for you, Scott, but it's fall. It's raining a lot. It's cold. You know, sometimes it gets foggy a little bit.
Oh, you know, man, it kind of foggy this year.
It sets the mood for, you know, immersion into gaming. And I think comfy or cozy is a unique feeling only video games can deliver.
Maybe to the extent that video games can deliver it, yeah. I think TV shows can be comfort as well. Like whenever I rewatch Parks and Recreation, that show's a comfort show for me. But it's not because of the atmosphere of the game, of the show. It's because it's familiar and yet it still makes me laugh and I know what to expect. Maybe that's what's comforting about it, is that there's no surprises anymore.
Like watching reruns of The Office.
Yeah, exactly.
Or binge watching a new show that you're insanely familiar with.
I will wonder then if Andor would count, because I'm not familiar with Andor, but I'm very familiar with Star Wars and I've been watching every episode. Man, that show is so good.
I need to watch it.
I brought up Andor on the Trek Freaks that's coming out a couple days after this. And I can't stop talking about Andor. I don't have a Star Wars podcast, so I have to talk about it whenever I can.
I mean, are you supposed to be talking about Star Wars or on your Star Trek podcast? That kind of sounds like you're going to have some angry fans out there, maybe, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I figure anybody that likes Star Trek at one point likes what some Star Wars has to offer. So there's probably a lot of crossover there. I also like getting people riled up and getting that discussion going. But I'm going to kind of put you on the spot, Scott. What do you think of when you hear comfort game? Maybe not a game, but like the kind of feeling that you get from what we describe as a comfort game.
Oh, boy. So this is more of, I don't even know how to describe it. So I don't really celebrate holidays anymore. My childhood was one of holidays are full of stress.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
And they were not
indeed
comforting events. And you know, this time of year, I like it cold, you know. I like the foggy, gloomy weather. I don't know. That's just me. I hate summer. Summer sucks. I don't want to go outside. So this like I don't even know what to think of when you're talking about a comfort game. I don't know. I mean, there are like, I just play video games, you know, I don't really think about the emotions attached to them, I guess. You know, so for me, this is more of, I'm just trying to figure out where you guys are coming from and decide if I can relate to it at all. Because it's, I don't know. It's just such an off weird topic for me.
So yeah, if I had to break it down, Or Kevin, you can go first.
No, go for it, man.
So when you do have that feeling of, man, it's cold, man, I want to wrap up in a blanket and put the fireplace on or the heat on and just, you know, let my PC kind of, you know, hum a little bit and, you know, make the room a little bit more stuffy than it needs to be. And then I just settle down. Like, I feel like I get into a dull or some sort of, what's the word? I'm not dull. What am I talking about? A lull. I just woke up, so I apologize.
Kyle wants to be dull.
It's like a lull that, you know, allows you to be like, okay, I can let my guard down. You know, I'm not going to be stressed out. I can just kind of chillax, you know, I could, you know, go back in my chair or something and just kind of take in.
One of these days you're going to do that. One of these days you're going to do that lean back thing and you're going to fall. And we're not going to be recording the video because Frank isn't here to hold our hands through this process. I think it's, you kind of hit the nail on the head with one aspect of what you said. It's not specifically when it's cold and you wrap yourself up. I was just using that as a kind of an invitation to the episode. More like it's an unwinding game, something you use when you have a particularly stressful day at work, when you talk to a customer or hundreds of customers that, you know, see you as less than, and you go home and instead of being angry about it, you soothe yourself with said video game. That's kind of how I envision a comfort game, something that just soothes the mind and the body, I suppose.
So basically it's like an experience where you can sort of take a vacation from life, so to speak.
Let's give an example. I think the easiest one the last couple of years was Animal Crossing when it came out on the Switch during at the beginning of the pandemic. Everyone needed some sort of comfort in their lives because nobody knew what the world was going to look like in a month's time, a year's time. And Animal Crossing was the game that kind of helped people to cope with that. When it came to video games, at least, it allowed people to, you know, do the daily stuff that they would normally do in their lives that they couldn't, and just do it in a video game instead and kind of get the that cathartic feeling of accomplishing something while you're trapped inside, as an example, at least.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before on Pushing Buttons. Like, Animal Crossing to me is like one of the best definitions of a game you can easily enjoy at any point. And even, you know, during that time you're playing it, it's sort of like a time capsule because you put so much time and energy into this village that you create. And then, you know, you could stop playing it for a year and then go back to it. And it's still there waiting for you. And the villagers are like, hey, where have you been? Like, come on, get back and socialize and mingle with us, you know, kind of like your family when you don't see them for many years.
Do you have a game that helps you like a specific game or genre that helps you de-stress after a particularly bad day, Scott?
No, not really. I'm a game gypsy, so I move from game to game because I can't stay in one place too long.
Okay.
Interesting.
I have games that I inevitably go back to. Especially when there's sort of, you know, like we've had since 2020, at least for me, there's just not a lot coming out that I'm interested in. So I've been cycling through kind of a group of games that I really enjoy that, yeah, you know, like you said, I know them. They're familiar, you know, so I'm not like, oh, trying to figure it out. Oh, blown away by the story. Like, yeah, whatever. I've played this. You know, I'm just here to have a good time. I've done a lot of that since 2020, not because of the pandemic. Like, it wasn't like being isolated inside. That's how I like it. You know, this was, exactly, that was a dream time for me, you know?
Yeah.
I agree. Yes.
but yeah, you know, the gaming industry just has been very slow ever since. You know, there's not been a lot of big games coming out. So, yeah, I mean, I have games that I go back and forth with all the time. I just rarely play any game for more than a couple weeks.
So when you're talking big games, the first thing that I think of is that within a couple of weeks, we've got God of War Ragnarok coming out. And I do not consider that a comfort game for myself. I'll throw it out there that a comfort game for one person, it does not necessarily mean a comfort game for everybody else. It's all person to person. So, on the other hand, one game that I will consider a comfort game, and it's because of a specific point in time in my life. I was working. I used Scott and your job as an example of stress earlier, and I had a very similar job, and I don't know how, if you take your work home with you, if you take your stress from work home with you, but I definitely did when I worked my retail job, and Guitar Hero Metallica was my outlet for that. I have loved Metallica for a long time, probably going on 20 years now. I've been a Metallica fan. Guitar Hero was more effort than most other video games, so I already felt like I was putting myself more into the game than most any other like narrative based games where you try to put yourself into the game. Guitar Hero Metallica was just thrashing out on a plastic guitar, whether I was with friends and stuff at my apartment or if I was just playing solo. It was always just a big stress relief for me.
Yeah, I would have to jump in there because, you know, you and I played that together.
Yeah,
a lot. During those days in retail. And yeah, they were a lot of fun times playing that game. And usually alcohol was involved too.
Yeah. So,
you know.
Yeah.
That definitely contributes to the comfy feeling. But, you know, I at least from my experience, you know, I was the front man. I was the one singing for the group during those days. And, you know, I was like, search and seek and destroy, you know. I was like acting really getting animated during the performance of the song. And I wouldn't really consider that a comfy game because you're, you know, hopping around, or for you, in your case, you were drums most of the time.
Oh, and yeah. I'm not saying like physically comfortable. It was just the music and the game and the friends and stuff, all of it, and the alcohol at the time. Was all very comforting for me after, you know, working 4 a.m. to 1 p.m. at a job that I did not care for too long.
Those are good days, though.
Yeah, I guess for me, there's never been one singular game where, you know, I know a lot of people have their kind of their ritual, you know, where they come home and maybe they do play, you know, a couple rounds of League of Legends, or they get on Guitar Hero for an hour or two. And then they'll go on to other things, you know, maybe they're playing, you know, WoW Classic, or they're playing the latest God of War or whatever. Whereas me, I typically have one addiction at any time, and that's what I'm playing. In recent years, I'm trying to get into, you know, playing multiple games in a time frame, so I'm not like just I'll just pound one game for like 2 weeks and then I'm like, all right, done with that game, because inevitably if I pick that game back up, I'll be like, I have no idea what I was doing on this game a year ago, so I'm just going to start over. So I'm trying to like keep these games in my repertoire, you know, off and on, so I like actually continue games. But yeah, as far as like, oh, I come home every day and I play this one game. The closest I've ever been to that was, you know, when I was playing World of Warcraft seriously. You know, you come home, you do your dailies, and you pretty much, you're going to do your dailies, and then, but you really want to play this other game. So you do your dailies as fast as you can, which is also stressful after a stressful day at work. And then you get to go play something actually fun. And I think, actually, World of Warcraft like changed that for me, because I got to a point where I realized I don't actually want to be doing this. So I just didn't anymore.
Yeah, to jump in on that, I think with World of Warcraft and the dailies, like that to me was one of the most relaxing aspects of the game. Like not necessarily like, you know, doing dungeons or raids, but just going out into the world doing world quests. Like I really got into like a repetitious rhythm with it. And, you know, I always knew which ones to tackle and how to do them efficiently. And you kind of get into this like zen-like state of farming or grinding, you know, kind of like going into the zone a little bit. And I think that carries over to other games as well. Like Animal Crossing, for example, you have daily chores that you do. And, you know, you can enjoy that nearly at any time of day. You don't necessarily have to do it on a set schedule. You know, aside from doing it every day. But I mean, like, the time of day can change.
That makes me think, though, whether what we think of as a comfort game necessarily equates to fun in any sense. Because what you guys just described with daily quests sounds not fun. And Scott basically said as much. The way you described it, Kyle, sounds more like how you are with completionist-ism.
Right.
Like how you have to get all of the achievements in a game before you go on to the next one. Once I'm done having fun with a game, I'll go on to the next one, even if I'm only at 43% complete or whatever the percentage is on that.
You brought that up. I think the distinction is because I'm enjoying the atmosphere of the game, like the art direction of the zone for World of Warcraft, along with the music. I think that in combination with, you know, I can't quite think of the word here, like, not easy, but let's see. I'm trying to think now, like, shit. I'm too tired for this.
Like, it's not a challenging game, but it's.
I mean,
you can do it somewhat on autopilot.
Right, right. Yeah. You're on it. See, you're better than I am with words today.
I've been up for far too long already this morning, but I get what you're saying, and to me, it's still not fun, and maybe that's the core of what I'm thinking of is like fun versus comforting in video games. Because I have some very bad video game habits. I'll give you an example now with a power wash simulator. It's literally a game where you take a pressure washer and you clean things. To me, that is not fun at all. It is one of the most addictive video games I've ever played. It's such a zen game, and maybe that's what these comfort games are for me, or what games make me comfortable are these zen games where you can kind of zone out. And there's stress relief, not necessarily fun, but it's still like a steady pace. You're consistently doing something. You can pay attention to it, but not have to pay all of your attention to it. It's not like a grand strategy Crusader Kings 3 game where you're trying to make the best political moves and make the best physical moves on the map and everything at the same time. It's more of like you've got a wand with a nozzle and you get to pick which soap you want and then you spray. It's simple. It's a very simple game, and I think those are the games that are the most comforting to me. The one that I actually had in mind before we started recording was Geometry Wars, and the idea of a twin-stick shooter in general. Having one stick to move, one stick to shoot, and that's like all the controls you basically need for the game. And now the genre is going to one-stick shooting with like Vampire Survivors and games like that, where all you do is you move around, and it's an RPG as you play through. You pick what you want and the game automatically shoots at enemies for you. It doesn't sound like fun because it's not necessarily fun, but it's super comfortable. That's super addictive too.
One step further and saying the gameplay itself is somewhat comfy because you're not really putting in a lot of effort.
Yeah, I think that's what physically. That's what comforts me more is the gameplay aspect of it. Like the ambiance of a video game, the atmosphere doesn't do much for me no matter what game I'm playing, which is why I don't care for the horror genre, because the atmosphere doesn't hit me the same way it hits you. It's just a ooh, pretty colors, I suppose, as opposed to the way you play the game, which is where my brain, when I'm at work and I'm thinking about what game I'm going to play when I go home, I'm thinking about the gameplay more than I am what it looks like. And holy shit, that's why I don't care for Red Dead Redemption. Because that game, it sucks you into the atmosphere, but I don't care about the atmosphere of most video games I play. I just had a revelation.
That's the trend. Yes.
Yeah. I just had a revelation there.
You know, Scott and I, we both played Cyberpunk, and, you know, I would like to mention that as a very comfy game, just driving around in Night City, because it's such an immersive experience. Like, you really can let yourself go and feel like you're living in this world, in this incredible detailed city. Like, I loved exploring every inch of it just because of how expansive it was. Like, not just horizontally, but vertically as well. Like, I've never looked up so much in a video game. And I think that's why it's such an immersive game to begin with. It's because of how detailed it is. Like, there's just a lot of cool little things you can find just by driving around and taking it all in.
See, I guess for me, I'm more interested in the it's going to sound weird, but the cultural significance of a game. I'll agree. Cyberpunk is, I think, a wonderful game. I think the narrative is great. The art style, you know, the art, I guess, the ambiance, all that is fantastic. But for me, what kept me interested besides the story, because I like a good story, it wasn't how Night City looks, but how realistic it felt, in that I could see our world looking like this. And what was it, 2066, right? Because I'm looking at it as, this is a world where corporations have basically taken over the world. Governments have been sidelined as, you know, figureheads entirely, which is, of course, you know, something people talk about now. But obviously, governments are still very significant. But I can see a world where global corporations basically become so powerful, so wealthy, that they're the ones with the armies waging wars. And governments are just like on TV, you know, I'm the leader of such and such country, but like, really, I don't have any power. And we're all just pawns in the corporate game. Night City is this like free city, but obviously we see that comes with a lot of pros and cons, and there's very nice places and there's very terrible places, you know. And I think the same thing for me was like Far Cry 6, you know, or Far Cry 5, you know, where this cult takes over this little town, and they cut off all the cell phone towers and the phone lines and the internet and stuff. And everybody is just kind of stuck there, and this cult's doing whatever it wants, you know. To me, that felt very possible. And I wasn't going around like, man, I really like walking around the woods in Far Cry 5, which some people would have been like, man, these trees are so great. I don't give a fuck about the trees. I care about the fact that this is a world I could see myself actually experiencing, you know,
in the near future.
Hopefully not, but
hopefully,
yeah, not. We'll see.
That's actually kind of how I feel about Andor, to bring that one up again. That's why I actually like that show as much as I do, because the whole story is like the super rich versus the people that are tired of the super rich. And it's a story that is relatable to today, or to the very near future, hopefully not quite so near. But stories like that are always easier for me as well to sink into, I suppose, sink my teeth into, rather than a game with a story that I have no way of relating to at all. Like, this took a turn. This is a tangent, but I kind of want to keep going down this path, because I always say that one of my favorite stories in video games is Mass Effect, but I don't see much of the story being relatable to how I live my life in any way, shape, or form, or anything going on around me, for the most part. But it's still my favorite story. Yet the ones that I always look forward to playing the most are the ones that are the more relatable ones. I can't reconcile that in my brain right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, you mentioned, I get it.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I get it. You know, I mean, like, I like Final Fantasy, right? No, the world's never going to look like Final Fantasy. You know,
not with that attitude.
You know, I like, well, actually, well, that's bad. I like post-apocalyptic games, but actually that one's pretty possible now that I think about it. I don't know. I guess, because I was going to say, I mean, I like the Horizon series, but yeah, I mean, that's possible too. yeah, I like the even if it is a world totally different, you know, stories are relatable, struggles of characters and societies are relatable. So to me, I guess that's like the kind of the cultural side of things pulls me in. And to a point, you know, the art, you know, the scenery, whatever will help that. But that's just not what I'm there for. Like, I'm there for a story. I'm there for the people. I'm there for the humanity of it. I'm not just playing a game because it looks nice. And that's never going to be enough to make me want to play it.
Yeah, I agree with that for me as well.
Totally. I feel that way significantly with the Fallout franchise. Like, I still remember Fallout 3 New Vegas. You know, you're pretty much, you know, in the similar situation as the character. You're being thrust into a new world. You don't have any idea what the cultural significance of each clan is that you encounter in the game or every NPC in the game. And you kind of have to go out on your own and venture out, learn about each of these communities and work with them to get power yourself or give them power. And to me, that's one of the greatest aspects of games like Fallout. Not so much Elder Scrolls. I'm not an Elder Scrolls guy, but you know, with Fallout in particular, I just really love the atmosphere of the game. And I think that helps, you know, with the comfy feeling as well. Like, as you're wandering the wasteland, it's eerily beautiful, like how it's quiet, but at the same time, so dangerous.
It's a bit of a difference from Geometry Wars. I'll give you that. I don't know how to segue into anything else from this. I don't know what else to talk about with comfort games.
Yeah, I mean,
I can go in a different direction.
Okay, go for it.
Or Scott, you can go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, sort of getting on, you know, back to the idea, you know, like you mentioned Crusader Kings earlier. Oddly enough, for me, I've played enough Crusader Kings, like the AI holds no surprises for me. You know, if I may, I guess for me, comfort is based on like levels of boredom. I literally do get bored almost to tears, where I'm just going through my Steam list every day, like, what do I want to play? And I'm checking the Steam store, like, what's new? Or I'm on Epic Games scrolling through that list of free games they've given me, and I'm like, there's got to be something that I want to play. And I've literally got to the point where I am like, I feel like I'm gonna cry because I'm so bored. It's like painful. And there are some mainstays that can kind of always get me through that. And Crusader Kings is one of them, man. For me, it's just like, hey, I'm really bored. It's been a shitty week. And you know what? I'm just going to spend the next few days rebuilding the Roman Empire. And it's not even going to be that hard. Okay. You know, Civ 5. I'll hop on a Civ 5 and just play with, you know, easy AIs and just kind of cruise to a science victory or whatever. I don't really care. You know, but a kind of off the wall one for me is Dynasty Warriors.
That is off the wall.
Yeah, I have Dynasty Warriors 8 right now on my Steam. You know, and I think when I broke my knee, I had my PlayStation 2, and I played every single game I owned. Which didn't last very long because I spent, you know, roughly 3 months stuck. You know, I couldn't go anywhere really. I mean, people could take me places, but I was pretty much stuck in a room with a PlayStation, and Dynasty Warriors got me through it because I could sit there and just play Dynasty Warriors for hours. Fall asleep in a Vicodin fueled nap and then wake up and play some more Dynasty Warriors. So I still have, you know, I bought Dynasty Warriors 8 on the PC, and you know, yeah. And I enjoy the story, you know, and I have my favorite generals and my favorite sides, you know, like I just want to help, you know, Liu Bei put the, you know, take over the empire. Of course he doesn't. Cao Cao wins.
You know, Dynasty Warriors is a game I've never really gave a true shot. I've always played just the demos, and I just remember mowing down hundreds of enemies, and I don't know why it didn't grab me the way it did you. I guess it's because, like you said, you really had no choice. You were stuck with a broken knee and had to find something to, you know, pass the time with. But I'm glad that franchise, you know, is so entwined with a personal story of yours. I think that's also crucial in delivering a comfy feeling in a video game. Kevin, do you have any instances of that? Like a game that you played during a really, maybe a traumatic time, or, you know, a really personal event that happened that maybe triggered that kind of feeling in you?
I've had a pretty good life. Like,
well,
like the
oh man,
the shittiest thing I could think of off the top of my head, and what at a time when I was actually playing video games, was what I already talked about with working retail and how that life made me feel like I basically wasn't living. It was like I was just a robot until I got home and played Guitar Hero Metallica, or played Geometry Wars, or played Deathspank. Hell, even Diablo, the Diablo franchise, kind of did that for me when I was a kid. And I'd come home from school. I hated school as a kid. I hardcore introvert. You could probably tell that by my speaking patterns, that I don't talk to people as much as I probably should in real life. But I would come home and I would like to just play my games. And when I was in middle school, it was Diablo 2 for me. That was the game for me that I'd come home. And it would bring me comfort and recharge my batteries to be able to deal with people at school the next day. Stuff like that. I've never broken a bone, so I can't really relate to the knee breaking story. I don't know. When I'm homesick, I will play whatever video game I'm already kind of playing at the time anyway. So, yeah, I don't really have a story like that.
Well, I mean, I could share one. Like, you know, this is a deeply personal one for me. But Scott, I'm sure you're aware I'm not playing Wrath Classic, and there's a reason for that. So back in December 2012, my grandfather passed away, and he lived overseas. He's in the United Kingdom, and at the time I didn't have the means to go visit him or go to the funeral. So I kind of did my introverted thing, and I kind of just sunk into playing Wrath for the first time, because I never did at launch. And this was during the time when I think Mists of Pandaria just came out. And, you know, I went through all the main content in Mists, and then this happened, and it was like, oh, wow. And I sunk into kind of like this comfy, cozy way of dealing with my grief at the time, where I just did all the questing in Wrath of Lich King. And at the time, you know, it was really cold in Oregon, being in December. So I would always have my window open to be cold. And, you know, that also contributed to the comfy feeling of dealing with that huge traumatic thing that happened. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I don't really want to play Wrath Classic, because of my experience with that content for the first time. It was just very unique circumstances. I don't think that could really be something I could enjoy again for that reason. But that's just one of the main takeaways, I think, is it happened during December, and I just happened to be winter outside while I was playing a winter-themed expansion for World of Warcraft for the first time. And that's kind of a different issue. I don't know if you guys have similar experiences of playing a game that's set in, like, say, the winter, while it's winter outside, that helps contribute to that comfy or cozy feeling. Not really.
No, I'm not even the kind of person that would enjoy a horror game more if the lights are off or on. Like, it doesn't make a difference to me. I know when I'm playing like Sea of Thieves, I don't need to have the ocean outside my window or I don't know. It's I don't think that would add anything to it for me, but I'm glad that it does for you, because a lot of people, a lot of games, they sell themselves on the atmosphere of the game and the ambiance that they're trying to sell. So there is something to be said for it. It's just not how my brain works.
You know, one other example I have is I played Assassin's Creed Rogue, and that is a winter themed game. And, you know, I played that during January, particularly during a year where we had a lot of snow in Oregon, which is kind of rare. And it really helped contribute to that atmosphere and that kind of, you know, extra step in immersion. Like, for me, that's crucial in enjoying a game. And I really have a fond experience with particularly Assassin's Creed Rogue because of it.
I've tried playing games to trick myself into thinking that I'm like, during a really hot summer, I'll play a game that's like based in the winter to try to trick myself into thinking I'm cold. It doesn't work. It never does. I don't think it would. But I've tried it before.
I'm going to play this skiing game because it's hot outside. And I wish I was in the snow.
It's kind of like, you know, how we have Christmas stuff now in Halloween. And it's like, it doesn't translate very well. It's like, I know why stores do it in retail, but it doesn't necessarily cross over to video games very well.
Yeah.
So what's break down, like, what it is exactly that comfy or cozy feeling? Is there like a definitive sort of definition, for lack of a better word? Like, what do you see it as?
I've basically said at the beginning of the episode that it's basically something that helps me deal with stress and be able to take it out, and like soothe my stress rather than stew on my stress.
Okay. Okay. So for you in particular, it's mainly
stress
to get
relief.
Away from life.
I wouldn't even say go that far.
Turn it down, like tune it down.
Tune out certain aspects of life, because my home life is great. I love being home. So when I'm playing video games, it's not to escape that. It's to kind of wind down from the stresses outside of being home.
Okay. How about you, Scott?
You know, I suppose the answer is going to be every gamer's different. I mean, that's true, right? I mean, we've shown, you know, you're really into the atmosphere, the immersion, the ambiance, and like that really doesn't matter to Kevin and I very much at all, if at all, you know. I will say, you know, yeah, like I open the window in the winter because my girlfriend, she's cold, she wants the heat on for some reason. So yeah, I will be in here. The computer's making the room stuffy. I hate stuffy. I don't do stuffy. Yep. Stuffy is not comforting. I don't like comfy, cozy, stuffy fireplaces. Okay, that's hot, and I'm opening the window to let the 40 degree weather in. But you know, for me, you know, growing up, my mom was very anti video game, so like I had a Sega Genesis. I could very rarely play it. Eventually, my grandpa rebelled and bought me a Nintendo 64. Which I was barely allowed to play. You know, like most of my playtime was during the summer because she was at work and she couldn't really stop me. But at that point in my life, it was books. You know, I still read quite a bit, you know, and you know, my childhood was not fantastic. You know, I'm not gonna go into that. But for me, it was escapism, I guess. You know, that was me dealing with my stress, was entertaining myself in general. So, although I also suffer from extreme boredom, so I have a need to just be entertained. I hate to be bored, but just gaming in general, that is my stress relief. And it doesn't really matter what it is. Some games are stressful in and of themselves, like, you know, a lot of times MOBAs, you know, I don't play a MOBA usually when I first get home from work, because that's just going to piss me off. But for the most part, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's entertaining me, then it's helping me deal with my stress and just kind of getting out of, you know, whatever is bothering.
Yeah, I think you both are very accurate. We do have different perspectives between each person, but they're all valid. And I think when you combine all three of these perspectives, it does sort of lean into the fact that, yes, video games can be used for dealing with stress or boredom, or, you know, just escaping life. In my case, like that's how I use them. And, you know, all three are perfectly fine. Like, they each have their own strengths when it comes to enjoying games. And I feel like, in particular, there isn't one concrete answer to what a comfy game is. Like, you could really apply it to any video game.
Yeah.
And we could go into more games if you like. Like, if you can think of any more that you'd like to discuss.
Yeah. I will add a disclaimer. Obviously, you know, a lot of my gaming is it's just basic escapism, right? Combined with just a need for entertainment. So it's not always like I just want to escape the world. But when I was younger, for me, I did use video games as an avenue to just kind of internalize problems. You know, when I had things that were stressing me out, you know, bills piling up, or, you know, like that tax bill comes in, you know, that personal property tax, which actually y'all might not have for cars. But here in Virginia, you know, every year we get a tax bill just for owning a car. And, you know, when you're living very, very paycheck to paycheck, you know, things like that are very stressful, and you don't know how you're going to pay them. And I, you know, World of Warcraft was the biggest culprit, but there were, you know, other times with other games where I would just kind of bury things that were bothering me instead of dealing with them. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten much better about that. You know, obviously my girlfriend and I, you know, I basically, instead of, you know, I used to be like, there's a problem, and she'd be like, hey, this is a problem. And I'd be like, yeah, yeah, I'm working on it, you know, or I'm going to deal with it, but I'm not, you know, I'm just kind of like, I'll deal with it later. I'm procrastinating with it. So it's important not to let video games distract from the important things in life, but they can very much be used to deal with the stressful things in your life, as long as you're dealing with it in a healthy manner.
That's very, very well put. Like, I used to game for the same purposes, to distract from things rather than to kind of add to my health, my mental health. So I'm very big on procrastinating. You can ask anybody who's ever heard that me say that I'd do something. I don't do it. I'm the biggest procrastinator, along with everybody else here, apparently. And I used to use video games for that. I definitely don't anymore. We're talking about video games like they're drugs now. And I guess maybe the way that people, especially we used to play video games, they were kind of used in that sense. Not very comforting in that sense. I'm just going to throw that one out there. But yeah, definitely be picky about how you play video games and why you're playing them. Escapism is fun, is nice, is crucial to an extent. And just be careful with it.
Yeah, the why is very important. Like, I feel like now more than ever, we have a lot of representation in gaming, especially when it comes to, like, say, mental health or things of that nature. Like, I've played several games that kind of go into, like, how problems in the real world can affect you in the long run. One of the examples I can think of is Night in the Woods. I played that in September, and it mainly has a moral of confronting your childhood and how that's being carried over into adulthood. And things that you may be not addressing while you're transitioning into adulthood are still there, and you have to go back and deal with it before you can move on. And for me, that was a really big eye-opener. Like, you know, I just recently moved to Utah, and there's still things in Oregon that I'm dealing with, mainly with my prior work history. And there's a lot of things I'm still tackling and trying to understand after leaving that job that still affect me today, and I'm working extremely hard to get over that. It was really stressful at the time, and, you know, I don't want to carry it anymore. And games like Night in the Woods kind of taught me, like, it's okay to leave those things alone where they were in the past. You don't necessarily have to take them with you into the future, and I appreciate games like that for that reason.
I definitely think that's veering toward another topic for another time. Mental health and gaming is something that I've wanted to talk about, but I don't know if I'm the right person to talk about it because I'm not very well spoken most of the time. Kyle, you and you as well, Scott, both definitely seem like more well-spoken people than I am. So I've been very fearful of bringing stuff like that up because mental health is a big aspect of how I approach almost anything in life. If there's some aspect of maintaining your mental health that I always keep in mind with whatever I do, whether it's balancing my hobbies, my job, and my life with my wife and my dog and our new home, or whatever else it is, just balancing the hundreds of video games that I have on my Steam list and Epic Game Store that I try to balance which one I'm going to play and when. That's definitely another topic for another time that I do want to hit on at some point, for sure. Not necessarily comfortable, though, but that doesn't need to be.
Yeah, that's not a comforting topic, but I think it's definitely a good one to cover one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to mention this, like, you know, Night in the Woods, it takes place in the fall. I played it during the fall. I've had it for years, and I put off on playing it because, you know, at the time I was so busy with work, and every September, October, I would just be flying through it, not even thinking about what I wanted to do. And, you know, this was the first time in years where I could just take a breath and just kind of self-analyze and, you know, interpret what's going on in my mental state. And it's really cathartic in a way, especially for this particular game because of its atmosphere in the autumn and playing in the autumn. Not necessarily the best game to match Utah's desert, but in Oregon anyway, you had a lot of, you know, fall leaves and stuff. I miss that severely. That's probably the thing I miss most about Oregon's nature, coming from there to the desert. But, you know, still, I could use that experience from the past to relate to it. And I think that also helps deliver a feeling of coziness in gaming.
Makes you feel like you're back where you're comfortable playing games that take place in the fall here in Oregon.
Like, another great example of this, I feel like, would be Resident Evil Village, because there's a lot of scenery that invokes that kind of nostalgic feeling for Oregon. Like, in particular, there's a sequence in the game where you go to a house that's under a waterfall, and I always think of the waterfalls in Oregon, and that's really peaceful to me. And yeah,
there's also a lot of zombies here in Oregon. we're not supposed to interact with them, though.
Definitely not.
You guys have anything else that you want to talk about when it comes to comfort games?
I mean, we could go over.
I think we're good to wrap up, honestly, unless there's something like pressing that you wanted to make sure got in on this episode.
I think I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm good too.
Like how Scott mentioned earlier about being warm and stuffy is not comfortable. My pits are starting to sweat a bit, so I think it's about time to call this conversation to a close. That was a comfortable conversation, though, even though I think we got a little bit more comfortable than we intended to with the conversation, got a little deeper into past experiences. But yeah, let us know what you guys think of when you think of comfort games and which games were the most comforting for you through any aspect of your life, good or bad. Let us know. All of our social media links are down below. If you like this show and want to hear us keep doing this style of show for the long haul, let us know now, because there's changes are a coming. So we're not sure exactly if let us know. Give us a 5-star review and that'll let us know that you want to hear more of this. Maybe not of me speaking incoherently exactly, but in general. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and until next time, love you.